participate in the forum. This is a representative forum that goes all the way from the those that are farmers to those that are specialist research for the PhD level. And they put together these particular venues.
Chairperson, thank you very much. One acknowledges that Dr. Mufeli has taken over at a very critical juncture, and it is quite evident from his presentation that the ARC was in dire straits. So naturally, there's a major job ahead in turning it around. Secondly, Chairperson, it is also important to understand that in a developmental state like ours, research is going to be crucial, because not only do we have to remain on top, but we also have other challenges which are beyond human control, or to an extent humans can contribute towards easing them. And that is, for example, your whole pattern of climate change. For example, in the presentation, we've heard about adapting various situations. For example, you will need to perhaps develop new breeds to adapt to the changing landscape. If you take the Karoo-like conditions, they are all encroaching right into the Southern Free State. Whereas before they were as far as Craddock, they are now right up to Smithfield in the Free State. So we've got major challenges. Now, having said that, Chairperson, I also need to remind Dr. Mufeli that I take it that you were aware quite some time ago that there would be a presentation today. And therefore, one expects that those of your colleagues that were supposed to have been here should have been here. There cannot be any excuses. Now, Chairperson, I would like to know whether ARC has developed an asset register, and whether such an asset register could be made available to the committee at some juncture in the not-too-distant future. Then, Chairperson, there was a problem some time ago about some Nguni herd, I think in the Loshkop dam area, belonging to the ARC, over which some or other person had laid claim. We would like to know what happened to that, whether that particular asset of the ARC was returned to the ARC, if not, why not, and what steps are being taken to see that that asset doesn't dissipate into thin air. Then, Chairperson, one gets the impression that there is gross underfunding. If we are to meet the challenges that face us, we need adequate funding. But I also get the impression that there is a problem where the private sector does not seem to be coming forward. But then again, Chairperson, we note that there are a number of institutions, organizations through the length and breadth of the country that are doing research in various fields of endeavor. And isn't it perhaps time that the ARC plays a much more important role in collating or bringing on board all these organizations that are doing research, particularly in the fields that the ARC is involved in? For the present, Chairperson, I shall rest my case. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I also want to say that one thing I see as the strategic trusts and the strategic objectives are more in line with what they should have been. in the past, and Japan got here and really they are very deep. What is what does concern me
what?
Is that you said that there is a need to communicate and that there is an alignment with the Department of Agriculture and other departments. But what concerns me is that the technology transfer, if it is really getting to the ground, is ordinary extension officers of the department, do they know what you are doing and what the results are? Because they are the people who must get this technology to the ground, the people there. And that is my concern. Your own project in we've seen of that, and that is very good. But that must be multiplied to a lot. And that can only be done by the Department of Agriculture and their extension officers. And I don't know if that is happening at the moment. Do you foresee that you will do that on a bigger issue?
Thanks, Honorable. Is there any questions from members? Mountain?
Thank you, Mr. President. Two questions of clarity. That's true. Okay. I would like to know the meaning of IKS. What is IKS? Another one. KRA, if you can just explain to me what that is, then the question will be, oh, there are also other classes. What do you mean by endowment chairs, adjunct posts, joint posts, what do you mean by that? Then my question is actually on the budget. I see here the certain year review starting from 1998-99 up to 2005-2006, and there's no budget for 2007. Was it supposed to be that we left that out, or is there a reason for that? You may just clarify us on that one. I see here you have, you said you have 3,000 employees, if I get you well. Can you just break this down for us and tell us who is who in the ARC? Human resource development. What are your real plans here? Who are you developing here? What is happening? What are you training or what? If you can just clarify us on that one as well. Now, on retention, you mentioned that you want to keep the expertise that are there. Because we have learned in the past that experts are leaving the ARC because they're going to greener pastures. Now, how are you going to keep them? Is there a possibility of keeping them higher wages? Or is there another way of keeping them? What is it that we actually need? Looking at the budget itself, I think it doesn't show that it has much growth. How are you going to keep this expertise?
Yeah, please, don't mind.
Thanks, Dr. Sim. I just learned through to the presentation, of course. But if I ask a question you have asked, bear with me. First, I want just to repeat, apologize for delay.
My first question will be on page 4, slide number 7. We talk about strategic consideration, increased focus on basic and fundamental research. You can please address us, as I'm sure maybe this question has been already asked around this climate change particular issue, you know. But in terms of increasing your focus, how are you going to deal with that, and how are you intending to deal with that particular in terms of this world development as we see at the present moment? Then question number 2 will be on your page 6, as shown to be slide number 11, under your NSC 1 RGB and integrated food security. You are talking there in particular what to focus on bullet point number 3, on infrastructure and input, irrigation schemes, agricultural structure, whatever. I want to know what exactly are you intending to do about that as maybe a research institution, and also the relationship between yourself and the agriculture as far as infrastructure is concerned. I always raise the issue of no irrigation scheme, which is a little problem, because that is definitely not what it's supposed to be. In this case, I'm sure we have been beaten by the old regime there, the Bantustan and the South, because that was very live and kicking in terms of that particular area. Also on page 7, I'll show you slide number, if I may see correctly here, slide number 13, where you talk about security and disaster management, post-harvest solutions. I just want to check in terms of this one, what is your relationship between yourself and the NAMC? Because I'm sure in terms of the post-harvest solutions, the AMC kicks in terms of assisting in that process of opening the market and all those things. Whether are you talking to NAMC in terms of making sure that this post-harvest solution is also addressed both by yourself and also themselves in this regard? And crop and animal improvement. And again, I want to check your relationship between yourself and OBP in this regard, because I see that the OBP is supposed also to assist in terms of animal improvement. I always, when I talk about animal improvement, I always refer to what has happened in a number of provinces around the Lucky Skin disease, that this issue was not detected at all, and even after it was detected, nothing that was done in terms of making sure that the animals of those individuals are fair in terms of that particular disease. So maybe you can also address also that particular issue. Chairperson, I'm sorry, the last issue, IRD performance indicator on page 9, that would be slide number, I can't see properly here, but whatever. On your target, 60% black farmers use. I just want to check on this issue, because whether this target that you set yourself is reachable or not, and then whether in terms of this black farmer, you are also including what you call the subsistence farmers, what you call these new black commercial farmers coming in, and also those what we used to call inverted farmers, family farmers, in terms of this target. How I intend to reach them? Thank you, Secretary.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. Let me start with the first question. Yes, the absence of our board members is not here. I shall relay the message accordingly. The asset register, if you recall, is one of the items that gave the ARC a qualified audit in the 2005-2006 financial year. We have since been able to put together that asset register, but not only have we been able to do that, we've also done an evaluation of all those assets. So we do have that register. I will have to go through the board first to make sure as to what are the rules for releasing it. to anybody outside the ARC. But I'll come back to you on that part, because I need to make sure that the rules are followed accordingly. On the issue around the Nguni head, they are still within the ARC. But if there is a particular detail about a particular case, I think I can do research around that and feedback to you. As far as I know, we're still doing research at LOSCOP. The LOSCOP farm still belongs to the ARC at the moment. I think the issue of underfunding is not unique to the ARC. You'll find it in quite a number of the science councils. But I must say that when you look at the data, it looks like in the last 2 to 3 years there has been a steady increase in the funding for the science councils. The element of whether ARC is grossly underfunded or not, I think that's the exercise that we are trying to do, to try and do this detailed analysis of all the resources. What is it costing us to manage them? How many people do you actually need to be able to manage these things? And then how are you going to align this with your actual deliverables as required by your stakeholders? I think if we can present a much more fuller picture that really speaks to that, we'll have a better sense as to the level of underfunding. The issue about the private sector not coming forward, it's been an issue that's been raised by the new council of the ARC, that they are concerned that the level of funding coming from the private sector is not at the level as that it would have been expected, given the noise that they've been making. But, if I may, in the last 3 months, I had quite a lot of meetings with the private sector. And that includes the Maize Trust, the Winter Silver Trust, it includes the wine industry, it includes the street trust growers, and so on. Quite a number of them are reviewing their funding plans based on the discussions I've had with them around the direction in which we are trying to get to as the ARC. So I very often say I'll wait until I see them deliver. The Maize Trust has already committed for the current year 10 million, and they are now saying, give us an indication of how much more you want. So it looks like there might be some doors starting to open. What I'm afraid of is that they may all suddenly turn up in one day and say, here's 100 million, and I'm unable to use it. That's the danger that might turn up. So, but we're managing that, so that's why I'm engaging them on a routine basis. In terms of why doesn't the ARC play a much more important role in influencing other institutions in terms of agricultural research, I now serve as the chairperson of the National Agricultural Research Forum, which is all the role players that are involved in doing agricultural research and in funding agricultural research. And one of the things that we have recently in April agreed upon is a plan, a broader plan for how we need to manage and structure broadly participation and funding of agricultural research. And that will be going to the Minister and Cabinet very soon. And hopefully it will get the kind of support that it requires. And many of them were quite happy because we did a lot of consultation to put that together. So I'm hoping that will assist us in getting somewhere. So on the question that came around communication, when you have an organization of about 3,000 people scattered throughout the whole country, the decisions you make in Pretoria is very important that you communicate them to everybody within the organization as soon as possible. What I found was that within the first month we would make a decision in our senior management, a month later I go down there, and nobody has ever heard about the decision we made. So it was for that reason that we started to interrogate this issue of communication. But there was also a weakness around communication, not just internally, communication with our clients. A lot of the clients were complaining that they've written a letter to the CEO. Somebody told them they wrote a letter to a manager, and the manager said it went to the CEO. They haven't received the reply. Now, being new, I then went through the through my desk, and many of those letters did not exist on my desk. So it was clear that there was some breakdown of communication, and it was that which needed to be sorted out. And it was because of that as well that I started engaging a lot of the clients of the ARC, having one-on-one meetings with them, and in some instances having group meetings with them. Is technology transfer getting to the ground? I brought with me a copy of a little booklet which I gave to the CSSC, which is a guideline on small grades, on how to produce small grades. This is part and parcel of technology transfer that we hand out. This year we produced about 7,000 copies of those particular booklets. We've also produced another 7,000 of the maize information guide, which speaks to how people can produce maize. We don't only just distribute those booklets, we also try and run a few workshops, which includes extension workers, it includes some provincial representatives, they include what we call farmer representatives or lead farmers that come into these particular sessions and get to understand what the information that's contained in this booklet means. And they are run in the language that the people can understand. Unfortunately, we don't have sufficient resources to have this particular booklet translated beyond just Africa. If I may point out, these particular booklets in large measure are funded by the main trust or the Winter Cereal Trust. We are trying to get additional funding so that we can translate them into other languages. But more, what's also important is that the people that put in that data are also the scientists of the ARC. So whoever is going to translate this particular booklet needs to understand what the data means in order to translate it properly in the other languages. The question around do extension officers know what's happening on the ground? Well, I'm sure that's a question that's probably more appropriate for the Department of Agriculture to deal with than for us at the ARC. What we try to do is we've now identified a variety of areas where we would run farm workshops where extension officers would be invited to come and learn about something. But also, what we've done, we've identified the coordinators of extension at all the provincial departments of agriculture, where we would come to some agreement as to the date and the frequency with which we deliver certain information which must be available to the extension officers. On the question that came from Ms. Julie on IKS, IKS is an abbreviation for Indigenous Knowledge Systems. That's what that meant. KRA is just an abbreviation for Key Result Areas. And that's what that meant. What we mean by endowment chairs and other posts. Endowment chairs really speak to going out there and creating a post that could be funded either by a trust or by a set of fund of donors, where you then say this particular post has a certain amount of funding of say R1 million or R3 million coming from donors, and you then out of that that particular endowment is a specialty in a particular area, and then you advertise that post or recruit a specialist whom you can now afford because you've raised funding specifically for that particular individual, and because that person is a world leader is more likely to attract other funding and other researchers into the organization, which then begins to assist the organization into excelling in its activities. Agent post really speaks to a situation where you have a professor who might be at the University of Western Cape, University of Venda, who you also appoint at the ARC. And you come to agreement between the two organizations as to how you share the salaries of that particular individual, how you share the time and the outputs of that particular individual, and that person contributes to both organizations in terms of their ability to deliver. It's a way in which you can cut costs. It's also a way in which you can retain some of your expertise. On the budget review, I think it was an error for me to have left out 2006-2007, but it's partly because when we did this analysis, it was during the financial year 2006-2007. So we assumed that the budget for 2006-2007 was understood and known by the portfolio committee. 3,000 employees, who is who? In terms of employment equity, we have roughly around 63% of the employees of the ARC are black. You can, as of the latest figure that we have looked at. We have roughly around 180 individuals that have PhDs. We have close to, if I may just very quickly pull out some of the information, we have close to 300 individuals with master's degrees. The majority of the employees do not have, we have research staff with about 260 research staff with master's degrees. We have professional veterinarians and engineers. We only have 20 of those. So that's a weakness. We have about 118 staff that are currently doing their master's or PhD studies. And you add another four who are either, you know, currently doing their medical or engineering degrees. We have around 69 black students that are in the professional development program. We have 16 students that are doing engineering. We have around 25 students that are doing honors degrees. Out of that, you could read somewhere in the order of 40 to 50% of them are women in pretty much all the categories that I have indicated. Other than that particular set of individuals, the rest tend to be your support staff, farm workers, admin workers, people working in finance, and so on. And that contributes the rest of the total number, to be exact, of the employees of the AFC is around 2,698. What are your plans on HRD? Well, we're trying to accelerate and expand the numbers around human resource development. These are the numbers around in the professional development program, the bursaries that we can gather, and the number of scholarships that we can possibly gather. And there are a number of ways that we're trying to do that. We're trying to do that through coming up with agreements with universities, as well as with some other countries that may be willing to assist South Africa. I recently had a visit to the Agriculture Research Service in the United States, where we agreed to put together a memorandum of agreement, which includes training of ARC students and employees so that they can get masters and PhDs. We are currently putting together a memorandum of agreement with the number of Japanese agriculture universities, again for training at the master's and PhD level, as well as a few short courses. I think I've given you an indication of how we manage the retention, which is this part around adjunct post and so on. We are trying to create a standardized a normal remuneration framework. What has been happening in the last 2 years since that every year they had to come up with some kind of a benchmark study and that's the salary that they give people for that particular year. What we're trying to now create is a remuneration framework which will have notches that people can look forward to in terms of their performance. It will be linked to performance so that we can be able to retain those employees that are performing very well. On climate change, we had a number of areas of research projects that are dealing with climate change as a broad project area. If you recall, climate change, it falls within one of our strategic objectives, sustainable natural resource management. We are currently linked with the European satellite. The information that you see on a daily basis from the weather services on the data, we collect much of that data because a lot of the weather station actually belongs to the AFC. After we collect that data, we then supply to the weather service. We are trying to expand around this. We just had a young graduate with a PhD, black graduate with a PhD in this particular area, who is very energetic indeed and has just started in his full-time employer, the AFC. Infrastructure and irrigation schemes, what are you intending to do? Because we have an engineering institute, one of the things we do is to try and provide guidelines around the design of structures such as greenhouses, the design of some of the irrigation schemes, and even assisting them with creating the right specifications around how to rehabilitate whichever irrigation schemes need to be rehabilitated. We provide that type of support and the data that's required to manage that infrastructure and irrigation schemes. Post-harvest solutions. Honorable member, Lee, not here. This is not an economic solution that we're talking about. Here we're talking about doing research around how do you manage to store the fruit once you have harvested it. How do you then process this particular fruit in a manner that doesn't allow it to rot? How do you also make sure that the crops that you have harvested or the fruit that you have harvested reaches its destination? This involves doing some projects. We have a project that's called such a sterile insect technique, which is around trying to get rid of some of the diseases and pests in a particular area so that we can designate that particular area as free of that particular disease, and then you can very quickly export to those countries that don't want that particular disease. So it's around managing the post-harvest side of it while doing the research on the pre-harvest. We are talking to the NAMC, and we are also using them to get a sense as to to what extent this impact on the economy, for them to give us some studies and insights into the implications of the economy, into the implications of trade on some of the products of agricultural research. We have recently signed a formal agreement with OBP, which is a working relationship on how we will exchange the data, how we would exchange some of the samples, and how they would then generate the new vaccine, having obtained all of the samples and the information from our scientists. The question around the target on performance 50% negative from black farmers use, that's an indicator. For example, you have around 8,600 black farmers around the Darwin area that are producing barley for the growing industry. That set of individuals are the majority as a single entity in terms of production of barley. And what we are aiming to do is we have 60% of those that are using our product must be black. That's one of the targets that we are aiming for, regardless of what product it is. It could be a new cultivar, could be a new breed, it could be new guidelines around doing something, but it must be coming from us. We are including everybody. We are not isolating communal farmers, whether subsistence or land reform participants. They are all farmers as far as we are concerned. It may be that we have to try and tailor-made for a specific thread, which is one area that we have now just started trying to explore, to try and profile some of the different types of farmers and how then you package that information according to those particular profiles. I think I've dealt with all the questions.
Yes,
just ladies and gentlemen, I think I have a follow-up. This was Mr. Abram's question on the issue of the after service. I don't know. In my view, the committee is an the after service, but you know what lands belongs to the ARC. Whatever let me say, I think we are entitled to that after the discussion. No question of finding it from the bottom or who else we asking for that question.
Okay, awesome. Just on this one, appreciate that Dr. Mukeli Kuli must go back to the board. But what Comrade Mantuli has said is absolutely true. Secondly, I wish to point out that at some stage or the other, the Auditor General had queried this and it had given a qualified report. And therefore, we as the overarching body that must look at all these things are entitled to see that report. So I just wish to point that out. Chairperson, the other issue was that issue of the Ngunis. Mm-hmm. Dr. Mopuli said that if I can give him some specific indication, then he can look at it. All I want is that there was, the former CEO told us at one stage that there was a herd of Nguni cattle somewhere in the Mpumalanga area, around Loskop, and that some or other person who had been looking after this herd or whatever had wanted to claim the herd. Now all we want to know is what has happened to it. So there's no other specific problem. This is the specifics of this whole issue. Finally, Chair, in all these reports that we've had here before us, unless it has slipped me, I have not seen any information about a report from the AG's office, the Auditor General's office. Unless it is somewhere here, I've not seen it, I've overlooked it. Because normally we need to at least have some information on... Now, which document is that one? I've not seen that report. Unless if other members have seen it, I haven't. But it's a pity that we don't have it because it's something that we are supposed to be looking at. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, sorry that I come in late and I did not have the privilege to listen to the full presentation, but just on the asset register, could we please have some information on the what has happened and what is going to happen with the agricultural research station at Sigrid Dock, because it still stands there, not being used, and everything is going to pieces. And this is a profitable farm which has just been neglected up to a system where people just shake their heads when they see what's happening there.
At the beginning of the presentation, I was a bit worried. Another board member mentioned that the ARC at the critical stage, of which I think we all agree, and that it's time to move towards an amicable solution or resolution. I was worried, you know, by the usage of the when the doctor said, I, you know, I signed. But as he was presenting now the better part, that was the point, he has been using the word we. And I think he definitely appreciated the word we, because it is a cooperative government sort of thing. So together, if we make use of the word we, we'll be going somewhere, but if we make use of the word child, some will be left out. So let everybody take a number of the word one. And then secondly, again, as the doctor was presenting, he mentioned an involvement of about senior management, I think maybe for 15 days. So that can allow me to also say that we definitely appreciate better the involvement of senior management. So that at the end of the day, something which has been done, you know, by everybody concerned, or every stakeholder that is concerned. And to say that let it not end up with the senior involvement of a manager. Let us go down and also get what the other people are saying. And then the other thing that one has, it has been raised by my colleagues, but one would also like to get a clear indication as to how is the under-service area, you know, assisted, you know, in terms of the science and technological aspect. Coming from a rural area, I think farmers are interested in being able to be workshops. We definitely appreciate a situation if you avail yourself to a shop there in this area, kind of area. And then the asset register has been raised a number of times. And then the question of the selection for bazaars and so on. Can all the provinces maybe be taken on board as to how these selections are made for them? For the aim for what students that are willing to do some work in agriculture-related issues. And the selection of training abroad, which the doctor has alluded to, can we be taken on board as provinces so that we are able to contact the relevant students? Thank you.
Member Paul, would you like maybe to inform some other members of the members that are coming in, coming out? They are attending their personal issues on the AGM panel meeting. They are out coming back and then out coming back. They're generally meeting the panel meeting on the
Thank you, Chair. I hope I'm not being misunderstood on the asset register. What I was trying to indicate is that I have to follow due process, on a particular due process. It will definitely still come through, but I still have to follow the process that's required. It is available, that particular asset register. And it is true, yes, it is because of the AFC had not kept a proper asset register and it had not evaluated its physical assets that it ended up with a qualified audit. So we will review that. For your information, we've already shared this asset register and the evaluation of it with the Auditor General's office sometime in March, April, and they did quite a very extensive analysis of it, and they were quite impressed with what it's looking like. So we will be bringing it once I follow the due process. What is happening on the farm and systems? I think this speaks to the kinds of weaknesses that I have raised in my presentation, that you found that there were some research funds in the urban area, some laboratories that focused on specialization in a particular area, and when the expert left, the support staff were left there, but the work was no longer proceeding. So what we have been busy doing is put together what we call an asset management framework, which has become the strategy on how you manage all of your assets. That includes deciding on which of the assets you commission for your research in a particular year and for how long. That includes the process that you then follow around deciding whether you're going to build a new building or not. It includes around deciding about the costing of the renovations that you're going to be doing in a particular year, what process you're going to follow, and all of that. So that all of that is part and parcel of what should be contained in the broader strategic plan. We've done some elements of it. We haven't finished on that because we have at least 40 different sites, pieces of land, so to speak, that have buildings. Where the AFC is situated, and it's been quite an extensive process. That strategy on asset management is coming up before the board very soon, and then out of that we'll then be able to then do the cost-benefit analysis and the costing, and I think you probably will see a slightly different budget proposal in the next financial year, in the next business plan. It won't change the strategic plan. It will simply be talking now to the funding arrangement for the next financial year. The point around the participation of senior management has been noted. We will do all efforts to make sure that it remains participative. The question, how is the under-service people assisted by the ARC? We try by all means to try and be as inclusive as we possibly can. We also get limited to some extent in terms of resources. But because we are a research organization by nature, we try and provide the information and some of the technology to the Department of Agriculture, so that they are then able to go directly to those particular farmers. This speaks to the issue of extension, who has the mandate. As far as we've understood from both the provincial departments of agriculture and national, that ARC's role is not to run extension. There are extension offices around the provinces, and that's where we supply as much of the information. We, in our workshops, for example, where we do those, explain information around those in production guidelines, we try and include as many people as we possibly can identify that will assist in ensuring that people understand how to use the cultivars coming out of the ARC. Yeah, you've identified an interesting weakness around the selection process for bursary. It's one of the weaknesses that that came to light some time around March. And what we are trying to do now, we're going to try and put together a particular format which we will publicize very, very soon to everybody so that it becomes much more clearer. But the reason we have delayed publicizing it is that we are currently in discussion with the Department of Agriculture around how do we expand this bursary program. Because they are running a bursary program as well internally. It may be useless for us to duplicate and not really trying to make sure that we realize the effectiveness of these particular resources. So if we then come up with a single one that is either run either both places or at one of the places, but at least that speaks to the same issues and addresses the same issues, we will probably get as far as possible. That includes, in my understanding, the one that's in the Department of Agriculture includes provinces already. So I think it will cover everyone as much as it can. I think that's the only other question.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Professor. Thank you, Professor, for the answer. I just wanted to make a follow-up on the ARC funds that are lying around. Can they be used to bring research closer to the people? You see, you cannot have places just lying there in not work on and so on. Maybe the ARC registrar should also talk to the following. How many ARC cases are functional, and how many are unused, and how many are vandalized, and what is the state of affairs in those, and what can be done? Maybe if we can have something to show us what is happening around the country to all the African ARC cases that are there, so that we can verify whether we can still use them or are we closer to the people, can they be used and so on. But if we don't know what is happening, then it becomes difficult even for us to say to government, put more money in. But if we know the state of affairs, it's easy for us to debate and argue for more funds to develop those particular areas so that research goes closer to the people. Thank you, sir.
Certainly, we will do that, because the register that we have, it goes beyond just identifying and listing them. It also indicates their condition to the extent that it is reflective of their value, and it then talks also to the value in terms of the market valuation of those particular facilities. I think it's also important to note that we are also using that information as part and parcel of putting together this asset management strategy. Because out of that information, you'll be able to then say, if we are implementing broadly now this big strategic plan according to the assets, you know, using this particular asset, which ones are we going to use, which ones don't we need? I'll give you an example. We have a situation, two situations, where urbanization has effectively started encroaching upon some of the research facilities at the ARC. And that stuff may sometimes make it difficult to do the kind of research that you're doing. In Nelspay, for example, on some of the fruit trees that they do their research, they now have to hire security personnel because at a particular time around the harvest, people climb the fence and pick those fruits and go. Now you've lost, you know, the data in terms of your research. Similarly, it also brings in the challenges around, you know, people breaking into the laboratories and stealing some of the equipment that is computers. So it's those kinds of issues that one is going to also have to pay attention to. It is true that it's also about bringing research closer to the people. Some of the farms, I know of two cases, one in Bumalanga and another one in Lubobo, where there are landlords on some of the ARC farms. And what we are now trying to do is to negotiate with the landlords, the commissioner, to then say, you know, can they still leave that particular farm as is, as an ARC farm, because the kind of research that's happening, that particularly in the Lubobo farm, it really speaks to the kinds of farming that's happening in that particular community in the first place. So if they then take it as a land claim, I'm not sure how long it will take us for an ARC to be able to get another farm in the area. Because the natural problem is we have to go back to government to buy the farm. We probably will be out of the community for a long time. So yes, I think we will. It's those kind of things we will bring when we share with you the other register.
Presentation, and hoping that you will keep up the work of turning around and improving the participation of ARC and other people in the involvement of the board. Thank you. The next item in our agenda is minutes. I would maybe propose members, because I also received this minutes today. I haven't gone through them. That we consider them and we refer the adoption to the next meeting when we have gone.
we've been provided lunch, all of us can have it, and not eating it has come to us.
Thank you.